Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, where I have served for the last 26 years. And one of the things I love to do is to show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. So I'm really glad that you've tuned in to this radio station this morning. Starting your day with God's Word is a really good place to start. Of course, if you're not a morning person, or if you want to re-listen to this program, or if you want to get a manuscript to this program, you can find us on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what is happening around Good News Christian Ministries. I want to say a special welcome to our international listeners today. I'm glad that you've tuned in. This morning, I want to talk about a foundational truth. The truth is this: I am who God says I am. I spend a lot of time mentoring people. Mentoring is a process, and when you mentor people, you have to help them get free from the things that are holding them back. You have to help them work through a vision for their life. You have to help them see ways to implement that vision, and then you have to help them with ways to sustain living out that vision. But before you can really do any of that, you have to help them with the identity question. Who am I? If you're in your late teens or mid-20s, this is the primary question that has to be answered. If you get the question settled, it takes less prominence in your 30s and 40s as you establish yourself and your life and your career. Now, if you find yourself in a dead-end career or in a difficult marriage, that question returns with a vengeance. That's what a midlife crisis is all about. Now, when you get to your 50s and 60s, it reemerges again when you start to ask the kind of legacy questions like, what kind of legacy do I want to leave? When you retire, it emerges again in a different way. I have freedom, but who is it I want to be and what do I want to give my time to? Periodically through life, you're going to ask the question of identity. Who am I? And if you don't develop a good base from which to answer that question, it will really play havoc with your life. Now, if you were to listen to our culture, the only thing that matters about you is your sexual identity. Are you gay or straight? Are you male or female or something not quite so binary? While our sexuality grows deep within us, it is not the most important thing about us. The deepest and most important question about your identity is this: what kind of human are you? And you know, that's a really hard question to answer. It's a hard question to answer because we don't know what's true. You know, when your mom tells you you are the greatest thing since sliced bread, you think, "Ah, that's nice," but she's biased. If your dad tells you you're worthless and you'll never amount to anything, you think, "Ah, that's coming out of his own junk," but secretly you wonder if he's right. When your friends tell you about yourself, you know they're great people, but they're not always right and they have their own stuff. Then there's how you feel about yourself. You know, your feelings are always valid because they are your feelings, but they're not always truthful. So what kind of human are you? Generally speaking, this is how we figure out who we are. I'm not who I think I am. I'm not who you think I am. I am who I think you think I am. In other words, what I think you're thinking about me is how I tend to think about myself. The more important you are to me, the louder your voice will speak into my identity. I use you as a mirror to look back at myself. And by the way, people, that's why words matter. Words that tear down go straight to a person's identity and rip it down. And words that build up a person's identity. The problem, though, of course, is that while humans were made in the image of God, that image was shattered when sin came into the world. So we're like warped mirrors. I'm going to reflect back to you through my own brokenness. You're going to reflect back to me through your own brokenness. This means that we're going to have reflected back to us incorrect images of ourselves. But that is how we're going to think about ourselves. So where are you going to get the truth to the answer to the question, what kind of human am I? And the question gets even more complicated when you realize that most of us pretend to be something we're not. We think, you know, if people really knew who we were, they wouldn't like us. So we pretend to be something other than we are. We tend to wear masks. And I guess there's something to be said for civility in a fallen world. I'm thankful that every time I am boring and uninspired, people don't feel the need to tell me that. But the problem comes when we start to believe our own press. We start to believe something about ourselves that is not authentically us. And it really screws up our identity. The other complication is this. Jesus said, our enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. And there's a lot of ways he does that, but he works overtime in the area of identity. With his combination of lies, if we buy into them, he can at the same time make us feel proud and self-loathing. He is a master of warping identity. So the question is, what kind of human are you? And it's a hard question to answer because we don't know where to get true data on the answer from. So what we often do is we go to where we can get some objective data. We go to the area of performance. You know, some of us are good at art or music or academics or science or math or religion or sports or whatever. Some of us are good with people or computers or being the craziest or being the most spiritual or the most attractive or being the most knowledgeable or being the best at Japanese anime trivia. We all have our thing, right? And that's not bad in the sense that the Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Before we were born, God knew us. He has wired you to be creative or mathematical to be able to brew the best cup of coffee ever. Part of the adventure in life is discovering who God has made you to be and unearthing the talents he has buried in you. But what we do wrong is this. This tends to be the place where we look to collect data on what kind of human being we are. This tends to be the place where we look for significance and security. That was never what God intended. If you look for significance and security in your performance, you'll always know that something could go sideways, and what you're good at won't be there. And that feels really insecure. God intended that we discover who we are and how we are wired from a solid platform, a platform of security and significance. He comes along and says to each one of us, I know how hard it is to find good data on who you are, but I am the true mirror. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I'll give you true data on who you are. And so I'm not who I think I am, and I'm not who you think I am. I'm not even who I think you think I am. I am who God says I am. God will tell you the truth about who you are. We're going to listen to some music and then investigate what God has to say about us. We're going to listen to Casting Crowns and the song, Who Am I?
Who am I? That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling.
watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. But because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours.
I am who God says I am. First thing that God would say to you is, I love you. Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Some people have trouble taking God's word for this, but he says to you, you are loved. God will always tell you the truth about you. And the first thing he says to you is that you are loved. Second thing that he would say to you, and we don't want to hear this, but God will always tell us the truth about ourselves, is that you are a sinner. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none of us who are righteous, no, not one. I know that sin is not a popular word in our culture, but God will always tell you the truth about yourself. I am who God says I am. He says, I am loved and I am a sinner. You know, the problem with being a sinner is that unless the sin is dealt with, we can't have a relationship with God. We are spiritually separated from God. The chasm is wide. God wants a relationship with us, but he cannot or will not enter into a relationship with us unless we have our sins dealt with. But if you let him, God will deal with your sin. God promises this to you. He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God's promise to you is that if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you come to the Lord and pray, Lord, I know you love me, but I know I'm separated from you by sin. I need you to deal with my sin and cleanse me from my sin. Come into my life. I want to follow you. God will do what he says he will do. God will forgive you and God will cleanse you. And if you do that, then you start to ask the question, what kind of human am I? And you believe what God has to say about you. Then you are a human who is loved by God and you are a sinner. But if you've asked God to forgive you of your sins, then this is who God says you are. You are forgiven, completely forgiven. You are a person who is saved by grace, God's unmerited favor. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. That's what most of us do. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as a human point of view, but how differently we know him now. Listen to this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. and God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Listen to verse 17 again. I read from the New Living Translation. This is the New International Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You are saved by grace. God no longer counts your sins against you. You are reconciled to God. You have been brought into relationship with God. You are a new creation. With this new creation, you're given this new identity. You are in Christ, and you have an identity in Christ. So let me list some of the things that the Bible has to say about who you are and who you are in Christ. He says this: you're beloved, a child of God, delighted in, forgiven. You are washed clean. You are free. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are co-heirs with Christ. You are righteous. You're made new. You're a saint. You're set apart. You are Christ's ambassadors. You are a sweet aroma. You're never alone. You are God's masterpiece. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are whole in Christ. You are raised and seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You are blessed. And this is just a partial list of what God says about who you are. And you are who God says you are. If anyone is in Christ, they are new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. You have been made new. I am who God says I am. Repeat that in your mind. I am who God says I am. And God says all those things about you. Those are the kind of things that act as a bedrock, the base on which you build your life. You're building your life on Christ and what Christ has done for you. Your identity is in Christ. Now, here's the thing. While all those things are true about me and are true about each one of you who have received Jesus into your life, I hate to break it to you, but you're not perfect. In fact, very few of us have any idea how much sin distorts us. So while I have been forgiven and I've been reconciled to God and my spirit has been made alive and made new, my life still doesn't reflect God the way it was intended to. The process of God restoring His image in us so that we love like He does and His goodness and His kindness and His grace is reflected in us is just that. It is a process. We are urged not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that transformation is a process. So when you ask the question, what kind of human are you? You say, I'm a new creation. I am in Christ. I am forgiven. I'm a child of God. I am walking in relationship with God. That is who I am. But you also have to say, I'm in process. God is restoring His image in me. I'm not anywhere close to being perfect, but I am being made new. But for that process to happen, you will need to trust what God says about you. For if you trust in what God says about you, then you will grow. But until you learn to trust in what God says about you, to trust your identity in Christ, Satan's going to have a field day with you. What God has said about you has to be the loudest voice you hear about who you are. For many of you, to start moving into to claiming your identity in Christ, you will need to start by consciously taking note of the messages that you tell yourself about yourself in your mind. And some of you have like this MP3 on a loop that says, I'm worthless, I'm stupid, I'm dirty. You know the messages that you give yourself. You need to take what God has said about you, and each time you find yourself telling yourself something that is different than what Christ has said about you, you need to stop and replace it with what God has said. I would recommend that you memorize a verse or two that speak in direct opposition to what you have been telling yourself that's in opposition to what God has said about you. I would encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 over and over and over again because they have a lot to say about our identity in Christ. Now, as you grow a little more in your faith, you're going to encounter spiritual warfare. The place where Satan will attack is your identity. Who do you think you are to ask God for anything? Why do you think that God would answer your prayers? Who do you think you are to try to push me aside? I know what you've done. I've seen what you've done. And if you know who you are in Christ, though, spiritual warfare becomes possible. Because it's not about who Satan says you are. It's about what Jesus has done for you and your connection with him. That allows you the authority to command Satan to leave. You see, you don't have any authority in and of yourself. But if you know that you are a child of God, if you know that you've been raised and seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, then you know that you have authority in Christ. And that makes all the difference in a spiritual battle. It makes all the difference in prayer. Satan will come along and say, God doesn't hear you. But God says, I'm attentive to the cries of my children. God has made those who had no sin, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become God's righteousness. You are not in God's throne room with your own righteousness. You don't go in prayer with your own righteousness. But God has said you're righteous because of what Jesus has done for you. You come to the throne room of God as a child of God, knowing who you are. And that makes all the difference in the world. As you grow a little farther in your faith, you're going to have a deeper relationship of God's love for you. And you know, when you sin, when you yield to temptation, you're not going to like what you see. And the problem is your behavior will be right, but you'll see your attitudes and you're going to see your own heart and you're going to think, you know, God is so pure and I'm not. And what you're going to think, oh, man, how can God love me? But you will find that he loves you and that love will draw you deeper into a relationship with him and you'll want to spend more and more time with him. When you understand who you are in Christ, you're still going to have to figure out your calling. Is God calling you to be a plumber or a politician, a journalist or a janitor, a writer or a waiter? But determining who you are going to be is not done from a place of trying to find significance in what you do. But it comes out of a place of being truly loved, truly wanted. It comes from a place where God calls you his very own. And then figuring out your talents and skills and what your likes and dislikes are and your personality becomes this grand adventure. You start to get a vision for your life. You start to see what God wants you to do with your life. You start to see ways of implementing the vision. And you can try something and fail because failure does not define who you are. God defines who you are. You can try something and succeed, but your success does not define who you are. God defines who you are. And while you're on this adventure of discovering who you are in each stage of life, God, with your cooperation, is going to be restoring his image in you. At each stage in your life, you're going to have to deal with things that are holding you back. You're going to need to develop that vision for moving you ahead. You're going to have to implement that vision. You're going to have to do what God is calling you to do, and you'll need to sustain it by living it out. But the only way to do that well is to know who you are, what kind of human you are. And if you are in Christ, then hear this message clearly. I am who God says I am. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word that tells us who we are, that we're deeply loved by you, that we're sinners, but that you've made a way for us to walk into your plans and have our sins forgiven. And Lord, I want to thank you for who you have said that we are loved. And Lord, I pray that each person who knows you would claim their identity in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your faith journey, we would love to hear your story. It really encourages us to read the notes that you send. And you can contact us on the website or by email or by Twitter. Website's goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Thank you for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. And if you are a follower of Jesus and if you can help us financially, we really appreciate that. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you know, we don't want your money. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you can help us by sending a check to Good News in the Morning, Good News Christian Ministries, and Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, or you can use PayPal on the website goodnewsinthemorning.ca. You can also just send a note by Twitter as well, letting us know what you thought of this program. I pray that you may encounter God for who he is, that you will know that he is loving and gracious. May you encounter the God who is calling you to be all that you are created to be through his Son, Jesus Christ, and who will empower you to do it by the Holy Spirit. We're going to go out by listening to the album Grateful Praise, made by Eclipse 6, For the Beauty of the Earth. For the beauty.
this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day. Our hymn of grateful
in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.